Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle.
You know, there's a scientific term for that.
It's called baloney.
And we are so stupid that we think that just because telephones and computers and cars are intelligently designed, that means we are too. Well, we're not.
I don't trust that Richard Dawkins.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Is the only logical explanation, unless you don't want to believe in science and logic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, my name is Brad Bigney, and I'm a fellow with the Fortas Institute. And so far, I've only had the privilege of hosting the Thrive Marriage Podcast. But today, that all changes. I get to do what I have only dreamed about doing, being a guest host for the man himself, Todd Friel. Oh, give me a drum roll and some trumpets. That's right. I'm sitting in the big chair today, filling in for the man himself, and not because I begged him either. He actually asked me to do this. So here we go. Let's jump into it. Let's talk about what could help your marriage to go from barely alive to beginning to thrive. When I say the word risk and I say the word love, what do you think? Do you even think those two words go together at all? Or do you live most your life thinking, hey, I want to eliminate risk, reduce it, eradicate it, get rid of all risk if I could. But I do want to experience robust, real love. Well, we're going to talk about how these two words actually go together when you learn what you need to know about love from the Bible, instead of your own feelings, instead of the culture, and instead of, quote, experts, what even experts might tell you. We'll never be perfect, but God wanted our marriages to do more than just survive. He wanted them to flourish and thrive and to not constantly seem like we were just stuck spinning our wheels. And so what you find in the Bible is that so often this is the case. What God's word says will be counterintuitive. It won't be, yep, that's exactly what I thought. That's what I was already feeling and thinking I should do. No. The things that we cling to so often and say, oh, I have to have this, or I have to have it that way, or I would never want any of that, often turn out to be some of the things that are actually keeping us from what we want to experience. When we say, I don't ever want that, I can't go there, I won't do that, that unwillingness is sometimes what is keeping you and me from tasting and experiencing what you actually long for the most. So when you turn to God's word, you see that there's an essential correlation between risk and real love. So let's talk about it. And I'm going to dig into God's word some to show you from God's word what I'm taught about. I know it's a risk to be open and giving and loving with any human being, but particularly your spouse who lives with you at close range, sees your flaws, all the faults, all the inconsistencies and weaknesses and things that no one else knows. They see it up close. And so if you're not careful, you can begin to pull back and want to protect and be guarded. But this is a factor as to why we do not experience real intimacy. The reason we're afraid of the risk is because of one of our oldest problems, the fear of risk and this desire to protect and hide and guard. Do you realize where it's rooted? All the way back to the garden, Genesis chapter 3, when sin first broke in. One of our oldest problems that we struggle with as human beings, men and women, is fear of rejection and the protection of self. And it all started in the garden when sin erupted. So I hope you're hearing in so many of our shows from so many of the fellows how God's word actually gives us insights. We're not all here because we think we're the experts. We're here to help you understand how to apply God's word. And man, when I talk about the Bible, I hope you realize this is not some dusty, antiquated book that is irrelevant for today, now that we have so many technological advances. I do not wake up on any given day saying, I wish the Bible was more relevant for today. The worse things get, the darker things get, the more complex and confusing they get, the more God's word is just wonderful. Well, we got to know what it says, and we got to be willing to do what it says, even if it doesn't match our feelings or what the culture is screaming. So I'm going to take you back to the book of Genesis. It's a great book of origins to understand who are we and why are we the way we are? What's the biggest problem? You see, fear began in the Garden of Eden with the very first sin. Think about it. Adam and Eve, God had placed them in the garden. Paradise, no sin. They had everything you could want for. Everything they needed for a wonderful relationship. No physical defects. Imagine that. No reason to hide or cover up. Adam had that perfect six-pack flat ab without even going to the gymnasium. Don't you hate him, guys? Ugh. They had no defects. She was a perfect 10. He was a perfect 10. Oh, but there's more. There was no sickness. There were no children crying. No in-laws, no bills, no clothes. Everything you need for a great marriage. So what happened? Well, you need to understand that when sin broke in, when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and thought they knew better, fear immediately arrived. Sin and fear go together. That's what you need to get. Sin brings fear. And so fear began to wreak havoc on every level of our relationships. Vertical, our relationship with God, and horizontal, our relationship with others. And it also wreaked havoc on our internal identity and understanding of ourselves. It messes up everything that matters most to a human being. It began to wreak havoc on our horizontal relationship between Adam and Eve. And it's been passed down to us. Listen to what Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 to 10 tell us. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves. Oh, it had never bothered them before, but now you see sin brought fear. They're wanting to cover up. It brought shame and the desire to cover up. It says they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. What? They'd never done that before. They'd always run to meet God and to walk with him. It says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? He said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. Oh, there's so much that's packed into those four verses that inform us and frame up where we are today. I hope you realize circumstances can change, technological advances can be made, medicine, science, travel, you name it. But there are things about us that have not changed, that remain the same, because of what took place in the garden. And this is one of them, fear factor. Sin brought with it fear and shame. You can see that the word hide, you heard it, I hope when I read, hide is used twice in those verses. They were afraid and they hid. Sin produced the first ungodly fear. Never before had Adam and Eve hid themselves when God came walking in the garden, but sin separated them now from God and from each other, because sin produces alienation, brokenness, shame, fear. And that sin that first erupted in the garden with Adam and Eve has deeply affected us today. It's been passed on to us. Every human being is born a sinner, which means they're born with this fear factor of being exposed, not wanting to be vulnerable, not wanting to be found out, not wanting to risk or open up. In other words, sin produces fear and shame and cover up. Oh, I recently celebrated and experienced one of the greatest joys in all of life. Vicky and I have 5 kids and we're headed into that season of grandparenting now. And so our oldest daughter had her first child, little baby girl. Ooh. And we went to St. Louis for me to visit and introduce myself to this granddaughter for the first time. And it was as good as ever. I love it. I mean, that new baby smell, those tiny little cries, just to hold that little girl and kiss her in the neck. But I tell you what. What you need to realize from God's word, from Genesis chapter 3, is that she will not learn to be a sinner. She will not become a sinner. She will not become fearful or learn it from others. She's born that way. It's inherent. It's her hardwiring as a human being. That sweet little baby is a sinner and will have these issues to contend with from birth. Fear and shame and being known and being found out. We're born this way now. And the Bible teaches this in Genesis 3. And so that helps us so much to understand what is going on. What is wrong? Why do we struggle the way we do? God's word is so very helpful. God's word frames things up and gives us insights that we wouldn't get any other place. So much of what's going on in our horizontal relationships, so much of what keeps us back from experiencing robust, real, heartfelt, mature love with another human being is this inherent fear that's a part of being a sinner. I don't want to be known. I don't want to risk. I want to guard. I want to protect. But as you pull back, as you guard, as you protect, you actually cut yourself off from the very thing you are longing for. Ooh. Real love, the Bible says, biblical love is giving for the needs of another with their best interest in mind, expecting nothing in return. Ha! That's agape love, God-like love. Whew. Does that sound like a risk? Does that sound like you'll be vulnerable? Yep. But it matches the kind of love God gives us, which is then enabling us to pass it on to others. Oh, my name's Brad Bigney, sitting in for Todd, and we're going to take a break. But when we come back, I want to lead you through another passage that frames it all up and unpacks some of what's going on with risk and fear that's getting in the way of real love.
Okay, I'm going to admit it up front. I'm about to use every cheesy sales phrase in the book because, well, this time they're actually true. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. That's books and booklets and DVDs and CDs, you know, the old-fashioned things you can actually hold without charging your battery. And at these prices, you're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. Spoiler alert, we haven't. We found our mission. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. Free, as in $0. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month to take advantage of all of our physical inventory. After that, these resources are going to become collector's items. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out on this wonderfully ridiculous clearance event going out of business sale or something. FortisInstitute.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Revelation describes visions given to the Apostle John by Jesus Christ concerning the consummation of history. Its symbolic style makes Revelation a mystery to many. But you can understand much by asking what are the setting and action and who are the characters. When you wonder how it's all going to end, God has given Revelation just for you.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, we're talking about two words that don't usually go together. We don't usually put them together in our culture, risk and love. But the Bible puts them together. Most people, most human beings long for intimacy, closeness, and are frustrated when they don't get it. They want it, but they're afraid of it at the same time. But few people, including Christians, are willing to pay the price and risk that is necessary to reach the level of intimacy that they long for in their relationships. And sometimes they don't even know their Bible well enough to know that it calls us to do so. And so you might be saying, well, Brad, what's the big deal? I'm just a private person. Or I get it. I've been hurt by my parents. I've been hurt by best friends. I've been let down by people. And so now I'm determined to never be hurt again. Oh, my heart goes out to you. Trust me. I understand at this age in my life what you're talking about. I have felt it as well. But listen to me. If your goal is to never get hurt again, you will also probably never experience real intimate love again. Because biblical love, by its very definition and nature, entails risk. Listen to what 1 John 4:18 tells us. It's a powerful verse that really gives us some idea what's going on here. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Now, that word perfect right there in the original Greek language the New Testament was written in does not mean sinless. It means mature, grown up, robust. Mature, robust, grown up love versus infatuation does not have a fear factor. Real love, perfect love, pushes out fear. And so I hope the other thing that you're hearing in so many of our shows as we use God's word is that God's word is not all about stop. It's not one big stop sign. Stop that, stop that, stop that. If you pay attention to the Bible is all about put off and put on. It's all about what should I be doing instead of what I was doing. And as you lean into doing what he says do, you won't have enough space or time or thought to keep doing what you were doing. It's put off and put on. And so the best way to not be stepping in and doing what is destructive is to be learning what he calls us to do. And here's what you learn from the Bible. Here's what you learn from this verse. Love and fear are opposites in the Bible. If we played a word association game out on the street and I just grabbed people with a microphone on the street and said, hey, I'm going to give you a word and you tell me the opposite. You ready? I say love. 99% of the people would say hate. Love and hate, love and hate, love and hate. Those are opposites. You turn to God's word and the Bible actually says love and fear are the opposites. And here's why. If biblical love is giving, leaning in, risking, moving towards, opening up, then think about the opposite. Fear causes you to pull back, shut down, protect, pretend, guard, be careful, be cautious. It is the opposite of love. I've done a ton of counseling. I say to my counselees all the time, I'm always looking for this. Wherever you are eaten up with fear, you cannot love. In that area, you will not be able to love. And so I try to help them determine and examine and pinpoint areas of fear in their relationships. Because I'll say, wherever you're driven by fear, you cannot be loving. It's like oil and water. These things can't go together. It's the opposite. So identifying fear and pushing past those fears will enable you to begin to love in ways you'd not been able to do. Perfect, mature love casts out fear. That's what God's word says. I love the Message paraphrase. It says it this way, there is no room in love for fear. You hear that? That's what I was saying. Love just pushes it out because you're filled with love and you give and you risk and you open up and you move towards someone. Message paraphrase, there is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear since fear is crippling. Oh, is it not? Fear is so crippling. Think about it. Think about the times in your life you've been eaten up with fear, paralyzed, crippled by fear. It almost always had to do with other people, right? What they would do, how they would respond, what they think of you, how they would perceive you if they really knew. It's crippling. And so when you turn to the Bible, the opposite of fear is not courage, but love, which is why being convinced of God's love for you is a game changer. These two things go together. What you're experiencing in your relationship with God and how you're able to love others, vertical and horizontal, hugely go together. You say, how am I going to risk like this? Well, what if I don't give back all that I'm giving to someone else? What if I get hurt? Those are great questions, and they all have one incredible answer. I can risk loving another human being, starting with my spouse, who I live with at close range, who knows me so well, as I'm overwhelmed by and convinced of and delighting in and soaking in God's love for me. That vertical relationship of my relationship with God, knowing that he loves me, is what enables me to risk loving other people and extending that same love out to them. It is a game changer, which is why I hope you realize our enemy Satan works so relentlessly to keep people, even Christians, unsure, uncertain of God's love for them. You see, there's a huge difference, I hope you realize, between believing the Bible says God loves you. Most Christians would say, yep, Bible says that. You can say that you know the Bible says God loves you, and that's not the same as truly experiencing it. All of us tend to say, yeah, but with me, I'm the exception. It's when you own it, you know it, you experience it, you delight in it, you revel in it, and you rest in it, that it begins to enable you to open up, risk, give to others. You got to know that you are loved by God. You've been accepted. You've been forgiven. You're an adopted son or daughter. Oh, you got to be convinced that he brought you into the family of God and that God absolutely loves you. Let me say it this way. One of the best things you could do for your marriage is not start a new hobby together. It's not plan some amazing trip. It's not even have another baby or any number of things that people try to do to jumpstart their marriage. You know what one of the best things is you could do? Become convinced of God's love for you, that he absolutely loves you right now as you are. Because when you begin to rest in that, have security in that, oh, from that position, you'll be able to risk loving others, opening up, giving, being known. But I understand for some of you, even when you hear this word Father, God the Father, he loves you. It's sad, but in a broken, fallen, sinful world, some of you, when you hear Father, you think cold, stoic, stern, harsh. That guy that never was proud of me, never said he loved me, was not comfortable with affection. That's my concept of Father. Well, if that's what you experience with an earthly father, banish those thoughts from God the Father and spend time in God's word, Romans 8 and Galatians 4, to get a hold of the kind of love God the Father has for you. Oh, we get it in God's word. In Romans chapter 8 and in Galatians 4, God's word actually uses a word. Do you understand? God's word, Bible, uses a word for father that means daddy, papa. It was intimate. It was dear. Not this stoic, hello, Father, how are you today? I know, you know, we always laugh about the Brits. British people are so much that way, even in family. Well, the way God loves us is not British. Oh, it's Papa. It's Daddy. The word in the Aramaic that you see in God's word is Abba. It's a dear, intimate term. That's what God wants for you, because that's when you will be able to risk loving others. When you begin to be convinced that you have a daddy, a papa, father, it pushes out fear, because those two things cannot rule the throne of your heart at the same time. Fear and love cannot rule the throne of your heart at the same time. And I know it might be hard to get a hold of, which is why it's worth noting, whenever the Apostle Paul, he wrote 12 letters of the New Testament, and often he'll tell them, a group of Christians, how he's praying for them. You know, one of the top ways that Paul prayed for Christians is that they would get a hold of and really understand, be convinced of, be overwhelmed by God's love for them, because it's a game changer. I think about Ephesians chapter 3, where he prays. He says, oh, that you would know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you would be grounded and rooted in love, to know the love of God, the height and depth and width and breadth. He's almost running out of words to capture what he's talking about, because that is what frees you to then begin to love others, that you have a papa, a daddy, you're adopted, you're loved. And that's because you're in Christ who does not change. Oh, my name's Brad Bigney, sitting in for Todd. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, my sweet wife, Vicky, is going to join us. So don't not come back. You're going to want to come back, because then together we're going to keep pressing in to see what it takes to make our marriage thrive instead of just survive.
And it's now time for your daily Fortas News Break, a production of Fortas Institute. Meta's partnership with conservative activist Roby Starbuck might be the most unexpected alliance since Trump hired RFK. Starbuck sued Facebook after their AI chatbot falsely claimed he participated in January 6th, a career-ending lie that would have stuck if he hadn't fought back. Now they're working together to eliminate political bias from Meta's artificial intelligence. Whether this is genuine reform or just smart business remains to be seen, but when Facebook starts holding Democrats accountable for misinformation, you know the cultural winds have started to shift dramatically. The Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, just reminded Washington what accountability looks like, revoking security clearances for 37 intelligence officials who abuse their positions for political gain. And while America purges ideologues from its intelligence agencies, Canada's spy service is advertising theirs with pride. Literally, CSIS spent 4 months celebrating Pride season with drag performers and something called Two-Spirit Poop Dancers. That's right, Pride season, because apparently 1 month of rainbow propaganda is not enough in Canada. Australia's Premier Jacinta Allen had a complete meltdown recently after journalists dared to report what her government is teaching five-year-olds. The Australian newspaper exposed curriculum that tells kindergartners that biological sex doesn't determine if they're boys or girls. You know, basic reality denial. Allen called the factual reporting disgraceful and demanded the newspaper stop covering what's actually being taught in schools. In Ohio, 80 pastors just served notice to Kroger. Abandon your LGBT activism or watch your customers abandon you. The coalition reminded the current CEO of Kroger, Ronald Sargent, that company founder Barney Kroger built his empire on traditional values, not pride parades. The persecution of Christians in India has reached horrifying new levels as Hindu supremacists crack down on house churches that have brought millions to faith. Police in one region ordered all house churches shut, demanding Christians only worship in government-registered buildings they can monitor and control. As we tell you so frequently around here, please pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. And a perfect metaphor now for a civilizational decline. Cambridge Dictionary has just added skibbity, a word that officially means good, bad, cool, weird, or literally nothing at all, to the dictionary. They've literally added meaningless words to the dictionary. This is what happens when TikTok becomes your cultural North Star. Even your language becomes gibberish. And that wraps up today's Fortas News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortas Plus or sign up to become a Fortas Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortasInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortas News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, you're in for a treat, because I've asked my sweet wife, Vicky, to jump in with me on the second half of our show today. And we're going to shift gears from talking about something most people only think about once a year, if that, during the third week of November, gratitude. So what does gratitude have to do with your marriage? And how could a lack of gratitude be a huge part of what's keeping your marriage on life support instead of seeing it thrive? Well, we're going to talk about that next. And I'm going to talk about it with my sweet wife, Vicky. So Vicky, what do you think about this subject of gratitude? And how has this made a difference in our marriage? The absence of it when it was bad.
Right.
And the presence of it that you think might have made a difference.
Well, I think that was something that really caught me off guard, and without realizing it, instead of being grateful for things in our marriage and about you as my spouse, I've begun to focus on things that I didn't like or annoyed me. And pretty soon I just had a laser focus on all the things I didn't like. And I saw myself becoming what Proverbs 19:13 says, a nagging wife is like a leaky faucet. Mm-hmm. And I really like John MacArthur's commentary on this that says, an obstinate, argumentative woman is literally like a leak, so unrelenting that one has to run from it or go mad. And I think that was the kind of woman I was becoming. I mean, most of my angst was driven toward you. But we've all met men and women like this. They're just unhappy about everything. You know, my husband bought a rowing machine and it's sitting in our garage and he never uses it. And now he went ahead and bought a gym membership. And now he's not using the rowing machine or the gym membership. And he made a bad financial decision back in 1976. And because of that, we have the same ugly orange shag carpet. And we all, we've all met people like this. They're just not happy about the car they drive, the job they have, the house they live in. And it could be a man or a woman, but it's very, when you see it, you're just like, yeah, I don't want to be that way.
And it's worth noting, I think I heard you say, and certainly as we were dating, I didn't see it at all. You were not this kind of person prior to our marriage. Would you agree?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I consider myself to be pretty upbeat, have a positive attitude. But I think early on in our marriage, I just started focusing on what was bad about my spouse, meaning you. Jeez. And obviously you sensed that. And as we went to counseling, I began to understand that I'm thinking something about this situation. And I began to understand that my wrong thinking about Brad and what I'm choosing to focus on was actually contributing to our marriage, our bad marriage. And I think Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In the Bible, heart is synonymous with mind. So basically, out of the abundance of your mind, your mouth speaks. Hmm. And I've read that we think like 40,000 thoughts a day. Can you imagine? I mean, there's 40,000 things that you are just always thinking about. You know, we've got to pay our car insurance by the 25th. Oh, and that light bulb's out. I need to change it. I need to take our daughter to dance practice. It's just like all these things in your mind. So you're constantly thinking things. And it really wasn't until I exposed myself to the Word of God telling me how to know what I'm thinking, and even more so, how to align it more with Scripture, that I truly found freedom in this area.
And so what you're saying, I think it's true of all of us, is you had to learn to get a hold of and be aware of what you're thinking. You are thinking something about your husband.
Right.
And I was thinking something about you. Mm-hmm. And it largely wasn't good. And that was affecting what was coming out of our mouth. But when you say how to know what I'm thinking, are you indicating that it's actually possible to begin to be more aware of all those specific thoughts that are roaring around in your head?
Yeah. I mean, I remember one time our marriage counselor actually looked at me and said, what are you thinking? And literally, I was like baffled by the question. I'm like, I'm not thinking anything. I'm just thinking, I'm really sad that I married this man. I can't believe I'm in this horrific marriage. And that as a Christian, now I have no way out. I'm kind of stuck with this man that doesn't even like me anymore. So, wow, that's the only thing I'm thinking.
Yeah. So it was new for both of us. It was like going to the gym and beginning to exercise a muscle I had never exercised. I also was just unaware of being more aware of, what am I saying to myself? What am I believing? What am I thinking? What am I saying about this marriage? And I hope our listeners get this. The fact that we're thinkers is what separates us from the rest of creation, from golden retrievers, aardvarks. Not that they don't think, but they don't try to interpret. They're not interpreters. That's one of the things that makes us created in the image of God. We're always connecting the dots. We're processing. We're interpreting. We're trying to make sense of life. And let's be honest, when you get married, it's like, woof, this is not exactly what I thought. And we start to try to make sense of it. So we're thinking lots of thoughts. The problem is that so much of this takes place unconsciously, and it's just zooming around in our minds. And so scripture, what Vicky touched on, scripture has a lot to say about the heart. I hope you realize when the Bible talks about heart, the Bible is talking about more than feelings. The Bible is talking about the control center for who you are, motives, what you prize, what you worship, what you actually build your life around, your world around, what you live for, in a sense. And so, oh man, it matters what you think. That's why there's verses like Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence. Be careful what you're thinking, for out of it flows the issues of life. So we could say today, since this is all about marriage, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the kind of marriage you're going to have.
Exactly.
So way before you begin to relate to each other at the breakfast table, what you've been thinking about each other is impacting your marriage hugely.
Right. And not really even just about your spouse. I mean, once I understood this, this area was really life-changing for me. It changed how I related to my children, to my friends, my parents. It helped me understand I'm thinking something about all of these situations. And if my thoughts aren't lining up with scripture and is what's true about this situation, not just how I perceive it to be, you can really get off into a dark place. Oh. And I think I really had.
We were both in a dark place. And yet we were both Christians that met at Bible college. That's where we met. We both grew up in good churches, but Christians, I hope you realize, can have thinking that is off. And it affects the kind of marriage and the kind of life they're going to have. But we were able to learn this in the context of marriage, but it came in the context of pain. So you might be listening and thinking, oh my goodness, the marriage struggle and the problem and the disappointment I have right now is probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And it might be. This was the hardest thing I'd ever been thrown into at that point in my life. Same with you, Vicky.
Yeah.
It might be, but oh, listen to us. Very often, God takes a trial, a struggle, maybe one of your darkest, most painful seasons, and he uses that time to teach you something life-changing. We didn't just get a hold of this to help us on our marriage. Like Vicky touched on, it changed my life. It changed how I approached ministry as a pastor. It changed how we parented. It certainly changed our marriage, but it was something that was so good for us to get a hold of. And God did it in a dark place, in a painful circumstance.
Yeah. And this is so important. I mean, what are you thinking about your spouse? What are you thinking about your spouse leads to how you feel about them, your emotions, and how you act toward them. And I like to call it the 80-20 rule. Let's say your husband or your wife, your spouse is 100% a person, obviously. Let's say, and I'll just say him because I'm a woman. Let's say 80% of him is like, he's okay. You know, he does okay in that area. He's doing pretty good, goes to work, brings home the paycheck. But I found myself, instead of focusing on the 80% about Brad that was good, I just would quickly go to the 20% of the things that I thought he needed to change. And because of our own sinful flesh, we just quickly and kind of laser focused, we go to what we don't like and what we want to see changed. So as I focused on that, and then all I wanted to do was think about, he's got to change this and this and this. And it just caused me to be blind to the other 80% that was really good. And Brad could sense that I was ticked at him. But some of those things I was just thinking, but it obviously came out.
Yeah. And we're all guilty of it. It's like I was doing the same to her. Everything I appreciated about her as we dated, as we got to know each other, it's almost like I never took a glance at that. I was laser focused in on what I didn't like, what I didn't prefer, and what I felt like, oh, this has got to change. And so I just kept pointing it out and kept pointing it out and kept pointing it out. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to dig in some more to discover what difference it makes when you can get your marriage planted in the soil of gratitude instead of criticism and focusing on what you don't like. Don't go away.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreutz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus
campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Well, here's something that's going to help. Fortis Institute fellow Dr. John Krotz is going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you know when the Spirit is leading you? Or how does the Spirit help you deal with sin? What does it mean to be adopted by God? Look, if you've ever wondered about this stuff, this is your chance to finally get clear answers from someone who really knows the Bible. Coming up Saturday, August 30th, 8:30 in the morning is what time it's going to get underway and start. You can be here, you can be a part of it, absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now as quick as possible and get signed up, because the limited spaces will fill up fast. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Trust me, you'll be glad that you went. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Krotz breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside-down world. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health in our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health. Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness He requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is He able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, we're talking about gratitude, something that often gets saved just for 1 week of the year, Thanksgiving, and even then doesn't get applied to marriage. We're thinking, oh, give us help on communication, finances, a shared hobby, maybe have a new baby, some sex techniques, and people don't realize some of the most basic biblical things have the biggest effect on your marriage when they're missing. Oh, relationships thrive because Vicki and I are the hosts of the Thrive Marriage podcast. Relationships thrive, especially marriage, when it's rooted in the soil of gratitude. So dig in some more, Vicki, and talk about How did you get this thing turned around? How did we get it turned around from criticism?
And you mentioned it earlier, but it really is like a muscle that, you know, the more you exercise, the more normal it feels and the more natural it is.
Yep.
And I really had to retrain my thinking and think, okay, what about Brad is actually something I appreciate? What did I see in him? And why did I ever even choose to marry this guy anyway? Those things are still there, but instead I just going to focus on new things that I didn't like. So I think when I talk to women, I'm like, you know, you might say, okay, he's not an 80% good. He's only 60. All right, well then focus on the 60 that's or the 90.
Whatever the amount is, fix your eyes on that.
But it's really a choice to think. It's really a choice to choose to think about what is good about him.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I so appreciate the way he treats my parents. Or I so appreciate the fact that, you know, when I have something that really is bothering me, he will sit down and talk to me about it or whatever. But, you know, your spouse is going to be different. But I was just totally blind to the good things because all I was focusing on was the 20% that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. This is obviously my story, but men can obviously be the same way.
Yeah.
But I do think, I mean, if you hear nothing else from this podcast, I would just love to say one of the best ways to show love to your spouse is to recognize. So some of you have to think, okay, I've never even been recognizing good things about my spouse. You need to first work on that.
Yeah.
So I recognize and say it to myself, but wow, speak those words to your spouse and tell them things you appreciate about them. I mean, we were so laser focused on what we don't like.
Yeah.
Instead, be laser focused on what are they doing that I can appreciate and go the second step and tell them daily. And I think Brad and I have really gotten better about this. In fact, we'll just kind of tee it up with, hey, you know what? One thing I appreciate
you. Know what
about
I appreciate
you.
About you?
Right. And I mean, even like, you know, sometimes I take out the trash, sometimes Brad does, but you know, kids are gone. So now we're having to take out the trash, but it's like, wow, thanks for putting a liner back in the trash can when you took the trash out. Yeah. That's a small thing, but it's important.
So we're not talking about huge money. Every now and then there's a huge thing your spouse has done.
These are tiny.
I think
choices.
Those are the times that we have enough sense to say thank you.
Exactly.
We're talking about in the daily, ordinary, mundane grind of life. I still say to Vicky, hey, wow. Do you know what I appreciate? I pulled out my dresser drawer and there are tons of black socks paired
all
up.
All matched.
There's underwear, there's t-shirts.
We gotta have underwear.
Yeah. And that didn't just happen magically. You know, the laundry fairy didn't just do that.
That would be nice.
And so we love to say to each other, do you know what I appreciate about you?
Yeah.
And we'll usually smile and say, what? Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me. And it just changes. But notice what Vicky said. It's several steps.
Right.
You have to start seeing it again. Then you have to say it, not just think it.
Right.
So step one is to see it. And if you need help, I call it asking God to give you eyes to see evidence of grace, evidence of grace. Just start praying, saying, God, help me to see signs of grace, evidence of grace and goodness in my spouse. And then don't just think it, express it. It's when gratitude is expressed that a relationship begins to root down in a new soil and it begins to bear different fruit and it really begins to feel radically different.
Right. And, you know, I think we can do this in all areas, not even just marriage, but even like with our children, with our friends, with our neighbors. I mean, it's very, it kind of starts just like, it's like a, something that starts small. It just gradually
this thing
affects
can
all
snowball,
areas. Right. Snowball. That's
and you'll end up finding yourself, I do it at work. I pop myself in someone's doorway of someone's office. You know what I appreciate about you?
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate how you handled that situation in the meeting last night. Thank you for everyone thrives in a culture or soil of gratitude. And both of us were in shock, I do believe, as to how the shift had taken place.
Right.
Because we had not done each other this way as we dated at all. But we quickly shifted. And I don't think it's just us. I don't think we have a special problem. I think it's very, very typical of what couples do.
I mean, I think when you're dating, you know, you're on your best behavior, you look your best, you have perfume on, you're agreeable, you're flexible. That goes out the window.
But I feel like it. I feel like I do need to insert a caution here. Vicky and I are not talking about abuse.
Right.
We're not talking about seeing past that and saying, all right, I'm being abused. He's hitting me. But I'm going to choose what I can focus on. Do not hear what we're not saying.
Yes.
We do live in a terrible day. So I want you to know if you are being abused, the Bible actually tells you, you should reach out for help. Don't wait for things to get better. Don't choose to have a better attitude. Certainly do not blame it on you. But he's given you, especially if you're a woman in that situation, he's given you two means of grace and help. Civil authorities. Romans 13 tells us civil authorities are there by God as an extension of justice and goodness. So call the police. Do indeed call the police. And then he's given you elders. I hope you're a part of a good church. And I hope you join and become a member and submit yourself to their authority so that they can care for you and shepherd you. You should reach out to your elders and say, could you help us? I'm in a situation. It happens both ways. I know of men being physically abused by women, and I know of women being abused. If that's you, we are not indicating you should just choose to be more grateful for anything that's good and put your head down and persevere. I just felt like I wanted to add
that was really good,
that clarity, because right. That's not what was going on in our marriage.
Right.
And here we are decades later. Mm-hmm. What kind of difference do you think? Is it that hard for you to do it now?
No.
Or has it just become second nature?
I think it's become second nature, but I think a verse that really, I think that really has helped me in this, and it's great with your spouse. It's also great with your teenagers. Is there anything worthy of praise? Think on these things. And I think that's really helped me. Like, and I think God has a sense of humor. Like, wow, is there anything worthy of praise?
Yeah.
Then, you know, there's always something.
Because that's
there.
Philippians 4.
Right. Philippians
4. Where it
says,
if there's anything good, anything right, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Mm-hmm. And in the original Greek language, it is a word that's an accounting term that literally meant write it down, put it on the plus side of your ledger.
Right.
Because I think in our minds, we're so guilty of there's a negative side and a plus side. And if you were to actually print that out and get it out of your head, you would find that sometimes the plus side is kind of empty.
Yeah.
You haven't taken time to put much there. Of course, you're going to be unhappy if your negative side is loaded up. Because I hope you realize it's not that you need to find the right spouse and you would just love everything about her or him.
Right.
No matter who you marry is a sinner, and you're going to have things that you don't like.
And I think also it's good to know, you know, the same things you're seeing things about your spouse. You're like, well, I didn't know this, or I might not have married him. Well, you know what? There's things about you that they didn't know they were getting into either.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way street. You know, it's just something good to remember. Like, they're seeing things about you that they're not that happy with either.
And there's so much in the Bible that talks about our thinking. I gave you Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Be careful what you allow yourself to stew on, think about with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, taking every thought captive to the
obedience.
I think it's interesting. Even prior to that phrase, the Apostle Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare as Christians, the way we fight to please the Lord, are not worldly, but they're powerful for pulling down strongholds and every argument that raises itself against the knowledge of God. We have internal arguments in our mind.
Yeah.
You know, he should be this, she should be this way. I didn't see this coming. I didn't know she was that messy. I didn't know and so you've got to be careful, and you've got to take every thought captive to obedience to Christ. All right, we're talking about the difference it would make to have your marriage rooted in the soil of gratitude. Because I hope you realize your marriage is not just floating around inside of a house, an apartment, a condo. It is rooted in a certain soil.
Yes.
And Vicki and I love plants. We love bushes. And we don't know tons, but one thing we have learned, the right soil makes a huge difference.
Right.
Those flowers, those bushes, those vegetables, whatever it is, it's going to produce a very different kind of fruit and produce colors like you had not seen. Your marriage has to be rooted in gratitude instead of constant criticism. Oh. It just makes the marriage plant wither.
Yes.
This is not going to fix everything, but we know what would get you aimed in a new direction? What would cause you to even begin to bear some different fruit?
Mm-hmm.
Consider gratitude and consider getting a hold of what you have been saying and thinking and believing to yourself about your spouse. Oh, my name is Brad Bigney. And along with my delightful wife, Vicki, we have had the privilege of hosting Todd's show. Normally, we do the Marriage Thrive podcast. Oh, But now I want to do what Todd and our producer, Jimmy, normally do.
Go, baby.
This has been a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it's your central hub for all things Fortis. So until next time, go serve your king.